The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey now! Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. No Fred Fowler today, as you may... Usually, Fred Fowler, you'll notice he introduces the show. And it's not him introducing the show. That means he's gone. Fred is on. He's gone. Fred passed early this morning in his sleep.
Thoughts and prayers.
But you need to put that on Twitter if you're sincere about it.
I'm about to.
No, just kidding. Fred is just in Canada. He's alive, Jong.
He's north of the wall.
He's alive.
Might as well
and
be
well.
Dead, right?
Do what now?
He said, might as well be dead.
Might as well be, yeah. He's dead to me. Dead to me. You take vacation during conference tournaments, you're dead to me. Never heard of such a thing. But we'll try and power through. Jermaine.
We'll make it.
Is here.
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Have we worked together before? Have we done
a
show?
This will be our first time.
Okay. But you've done a lot of fill-in work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of fill-in work.
Yeah. I'm
like the Marwin Gonzalez of 97.5.
You know who's a big advocate of yours?
Who's that?
It's Fred.
Yes, he is.
Every time he's going to be gone, he's like, you know who you should get? Jermaine. And I'll just be honest with you. Jerome Solomon, he's my go-to black guy.
He's your favorite black guy?
He's my favorite black guy. We just have a good rapport. Mm-hmm. I know, we can tell racial jokes, and he's not getting his feelings hurt. I'm not getting my feelings hurt.
We've told racial jokes before, but not over air on the extended period
right.
of time.
Yeah. But you never know. You never know how it's going to go over. And if, let's say, you know, you're doing a show with a white guy,
mm-hmm.
and you make a joke about white people.
Yeah.
And I give you no reaction, or I just give you like a stare, and it's awkward and quiet.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That could turn the people on me. That could turn that person on me. I could be the black Bob McNair.
And it goes both ways.
Now I'm racist.
If I say a black joke, and you're like, you just shake your head at me.
Oh, yeah, black Twitter is coming for you.
Yeah, I don't need that. I know even if my black joke isn't funny, Jerome will give me a courtesy laugh.
Yeah.
To keep me afloat in the black community.
Yeah, you know, you gotta, with the black community, you have to build up like cool points. And you know you've made it in the black community when they say you're invited to the barbecue or the cookout.
I'm never invited.
I'm gonna help you work on that.
I won't go. I don't go to people's houses.
You're weird.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Okay, I put it to you like this. We were just talking about spicy food. If I say, hey, AJ, you know, I'm having a housewarming. I'm going to cook some crawfish etouffee and blah, 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 blah. Some good Louisiana food, jambalaya, all that good stuff. Are you coming?
No.
See?
I mean, that sounds delicious, but yeah, I'm not going. Where would you live?
It'll probably be in Rosenberg.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me?
We're on two opposite ends of the earth.
You know how many Cajun restaurants are between your house and mine? I got no time for that. That's ridiculous. So good news and bad news if you tailed my plays today. I had three plays today. Two of them have now gone final. My first play was Little Rock against Appalachian State. I had Little Rock plus 6 points. They lost by 29.
Oh.
That's not a healthy loss. But the good news is I also had Colorado plus 7 against Arizona State, and they're going to win by 11.
Yeah, I saw they were up by double digits a little while ago.
Arizona State's so horrible. I kind of hope they make the tournament so I can bet against them in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I also don't feel like they deserve to be in the tournament.
But see, those are the kind of teams where you have two different emotions about them. When you're thinking with your pocketbook, you're like, God, please make it, please make it. But then when you're thinking about your entertainment aspect of watching the tournament, you're like, please keep them out, keep them out, keep them out. So those teams like that are always going to be two-sided when it comes to your emotions. Just things What are you thinking with your pocketbook, or are you thinking with your eyes?
If I'm not mistaken, there was a point this season where I think Arizona may have been the number one team, or Arizona State may have been the number one team in the country.
I don't think so.
Or
I think it was Arizona.
At least in the top five.
They, you know what?
They started out the season 12-0.
They were ranked at one point. I can't remember how high they had gotten, but I always find it fascinating that teams in the Pac-12 on the West Coast with as much basketball talent as they have on that end of the country. I mean, all the way from the basketball scene
in Seattle. Like, why does the Pac-12 suck?
Why? How is that?
I don't know.
And I mean, especially at a school like Arizona State, let's face it, their recruiting process isn't, hey, come to Tempe where it's 114 degrees and, you know, you're going to burn like hell. Literally. It's a party school.
I think the highest they got was when they right before or when they played their or when they got had their first loss. It was at Arizona. They were number 3 in the country. Arizona was number 17. So they got all the way up to number 3 in the country.
Wow.
And now they're probably not going to make the tournament.
But you know what? That's the way the tide turns in college basketball, because how many times have we seen it over the years? A team starts off hot. They get right before or during conference play where everybody knows your name, Cheers reference, and next thing you know, they falter. They start losing to a bunch of bad teams. Confidence gets lowered. Next thing you know, they end up the season and they're 20-12 with about 4 bad losses, 1 good win, and they're on the bubble, and they're wondering why.
Yeah. Well, they were 8-10 in conference, and it, when you go back and look at what, you know, they've got some bad losses too. Like their most of their conference wins came against the dredges of the conference, the Washington States and the Cal Berkeleys. Those are really bad teams. Oregon State. In fact, they lost one to Oregon State. But if you like, their conference record was not good. But if you go back up and look at what they did this season, they won at Kansas. They beat Xavier.
Yeah.
They beat Kansas State. I mean, these are all tournament teams. They beat them all.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You know, teams like that, they're so like schizophrenic when it comes to their personality over the course of the season. It's hard to peg them. But what I always look at is I'll typically start paying real close attention to college basketball January, February. Mm-hmm. Because I want to see, you know, before conference play starts, you may play a few decent teams on your schedule. But for the most part, you're scheduling cupcakes because you want your team to have chemistry and whatnot. But when conference play is about to start and you may have a couple of tests here and there, and then you get in a conference play where everybody knows you've played these teams 2-3 times a season for the last like 3 or 4 years. Some of these guys, 2 or 3 years. And that's when you can really tell the true mettle of a season, a mettle of a team, and how they're really going to react to tough play. Is when it gets into conference play. And when you look at their conference play towards the end of their season, I mean, they lost 4 out of their last 5 games. So I start to see a trend there, like, okay, they beat Washington State, not a good win. They barely beat USC, meh. They beat UCLA, okay, decent. But you lost to an Arizona team who was going through controversy. You lost to an Oregon team who's decent, and lost.
Yeah, but losing Arizona is no shame. Arizona's going to win that tournament, I think. Probably. Whatever they got going on. They've got the best player. They've got the best player in the world. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be okay.
I just feel like with the type of talent that they have access to recruit, that team shouldn't be so up and down when it comes to their consistency and the level of play over the years
but
that they've been.
Also, think about in your lifetime. I don't know how old you are.
37.
Okay, you're same age as me.
Yep.
In your lifetime, has there been a consistent run by any Pac-10 or Pac-12 team not named Arizona or UCLA ever?
No, not really.
Those are the only two schools in that conference that have consistently put together multiple year runs.
Oregon, over the last maybe 3 to 4 years or so, maybe 5, they've been pretty decent. And that's about and I'm not talking about like a contender, a consistent top 25 team like those UCLA and Arizona teams have been, but they've been decent enough to where they're not going to be an easy out come tournament time.
No, that's probably fair.
But when you look at it overall, I mean, how many of these teams, period, in the Pac-12 are actually going to say, yes, we're going to compete for the conference title this year? it's mainly, like you said, UCLA and Arizona. I just really think that other teams like Arizona State, Oregon is starting to step up. And some of these other schools, they have the ability to recruit better. Washington, for example, with the basketball scene that they have, why can't they recruit? Oregon, you have the whole Nike conglomerate behind you. Why can't they be more of a consistent contender? They're starting to, but they're not quite there yet.
I don't know that they can't recruit. I mean, the number one pick in the draft went to Washington last year.
True.
I just think that they're having a hard time putting together a consistent program.
And you know what? A lot of it comes with having a consistent coach there. The revolving door sometimes with some of these programs, not just specifically speaking of Washington, but some of these programs on the fringes, is when you get rid of your coach every 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons and you don't let him stay there and build something, it always ends up faltering. That's just like the out of whack expectations of like Texas A&M. You got a Kevin Sumlin there and you improve the facilities and everything. He brings you to a certain point, but you have to understand you're in the SEC West. So you're not exactly like in fertile ground to say, hey, we're going to position ourselves to take over this division, take over this conference. You get what you can get. So then you go out and you hit the panic button, you hit the eject on Sumlin, and you bring in Jimbo Fisher and give him $75 million. And you're expecting Jimbo to carry you past Alabama. Yeah. I'm not even going to say LSU, even though I'm an LSU fan, but you expect him to overcome Nick Saban? I don't think so.
No.
Either just take what you can get. You know, when you go into a club and you're sitting there dancing and you got your beer goggles on and you're shooting at those tens and they're shooting you down, aim lower. Shoot for a 5 or 6.
Well, that's what I always say. When you, when you're a woman, doesn't matter what you look like. If you want to go home with a dude, there's a dude there willing to go home with
you. Everybody need love.
Not every dude has it that way.
Nope.
Not every dude in the club can take a chick home.
No.
But every girl in the club, she can go home with a dude.
She can choose anybody she wants.
If she wants.
True.
All right. We'll try and not be so Pac-12 basketball heavy for the rest of the show. I don't know where that came from, but we got a lot to talk about today. You had an idea that I'm curious how we're going to delve into and how this is gonna play out, but we'll see how it works.
I get a call from HR.
Yeah, who cares? You don't work here full time anyway. What are they gonna do? Fire you?
Yeah.
That's Jermaine Every. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's the scene about me. There's
something in your way, and now somebody. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
With Jermaine Every. Jermaine, what's your So you fill in around here,
mm-hmm.
but you got to have a real job.
Yep.
What do you do? Like, what's your real job?
I am what they call on my business card, a textile consultant. I basically just go around measuring price stuff.
Okay.
That's all I do.
You measure and price stuff.
Like floors, natural stone, countertops, cleaning, ceiling, carpet, upholstery, drapes.
And you hate it?
Is my employer listening?
I don't know. No one listens to this show.
No, I mean, I like it. I like it. I may not always like, you know, certain things about my job, but I like my job.
Okay.
It pays the bills.
Money. Yeah. Yeah. It gives you money.
Yeah. I really love my job every Friday.
That's the best day.
Yeah. Direct deposit day. That's my favorite day.
Who's blowing you up, chicks?
My sister-in-law.
Yeah, I knew it.
Who's like my daughter. She's 25, finally moved out last summer, and my wife and I were like, all right, one down, two to go.
Wait, she moved out of your house?
Yeah. We've been taking care of her since she was like a junior or senior in high school.
What?
Yeah.
Until she was 25?
Yeah. I didn't want her to move out. I told her, like, no, you need to stay here until you finish school. And then she finished school, and she started teaching, working on her master's, and I said, well.
My goodness, I thought Patrick Creighton's family dynamic was crazy. I mean, you got how many people are at your dinner table?
Now, 4.
How many were?
5.
It was just the one?
Yep. That's it. Okay. No more than that.
All right.
Can't handle no more than that.
I guess that's good of you.
And what's crazy is then she moves like 3 minutes from us.
Yeah, Patrick Creighton was saying that when he was a kid, he had 14 people at the dinner table.
Yeah, 14 to 15. He said there were like 2 large families that would come together.
That's why Patrick Creighton eats so much now. Because
that and the potatoes, all the potatoes
right.
He talked about.
When he was a kid, everything was split up 15 ways. He couldn't get that much food. Now
everything's split up 15 ways.
It's like you would hoard your plate because it's like, man, look, it vultures all around here. I need to eat whatever I can eat. So when you get older and you have more, you want more because you're so used to not having some. But also, he talked about his grandmother or whoever would peel 5 pounds of potatoes every day. 5 pounds of potatoes. 5 pounds of potatoes at my house would last like 3 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, that's a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, we would have to probably throw some out because they start growing those roots and vines and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do that every single day. Now, I bet you she had to use a knife. She probably didn't have one of those cool potato peelers back in the day, like
oh, no.
they have now. Some of them are like, you can put it in the machine and it'll peel the potato for you. But I love kitchen gadgets.
You like to cook, huh?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I had to start learning how to cook when I was young because my family's like, you like to eat, you need to learn how to cook. Now, we had a large family, but the only time we would get together like that would be like weekends, holidays, birthdays, whatever, whatever. This wasn't an everyday thing for us. But, I mean, I could vividly remember in high school being responsible for like, okay, you can go outside and play basketball, but you better come back in and make this oyster dressing. Or don't forget, when you make the pies, make the diabetic pies because, you know, your grandmother takes her insulin shots and Auntie Mary can't have that either. So I had to learn.
Well, let them get their own pies.
I had to learn how to make sweet potato pies like for diabetics. It wasn't that fun.
No, I don't like that either.
But, I mean, it tasted okay to say it was a diabetic pie. I guess they liked it. I mean, but when you're 60-something years old and you got diabetes and you're taking medicine, you can only eat certain things.
Right.
Everything tastes good.
Yeah.
So I guess I did all right. They didn't complain about it.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're diabetic, you got it, like you're just happy to have something that's edible.
Oh, hell yeah. And especially growing up with a grandmother like mine, she will roast you over anything. Like, my grandmother was the original troll. She, when the Saints played the Colts in the Super Bowl, she was such a Peyton Manning fan because he grew up basically down the street. She wore her Colts hat and Coach jacket in New Orleans when the Colts played the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's where I get it from.
Well.
I mean, when you think about it, it was pretty funny because she was confined to her wheelchair after a stroke and everything, and she would still roll around and just be like, yeah, Saints ain't going to win nothing. They suck. Colts are going to win. Peyton Manning's my boy. And people are like, this sweet little old white-haired Creole lady is just, you know, she looks so nice. And then she starts talking about football or basketball or something, and she hated Shaq.
Really?
Yeah, she couldn't stand him.
Hmm.
Couldn't stand him. I loved him, but and that's where we would always talk
to LSU. I would think most kids in Louisiana would love Shaq.
Oh, of course. I saw him in person once. My aunt brought me up there. Like the second largest human being I'd ever seen in person.
He's a giant.
Yeah. If it wasn't for me seeing Andre the Giant wrestle live one time, Shaq would have been the largest human being I'd ever seen in person.
Andre the Giant's the best. I'm so excited about that documentary.
Yeah, I can't wait. When I heard Bill Simmons was involved and HBO was behind it, I figured it was going to be a really good doc. So I can't wait for that one to come out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Hopefully it'll be better than the Ric Flair doc. The Ric Flair doc, it was good, but it kind of let me down.
I thought it was good, but if it were on HBO, I think it could have been better.
Exactly, because they could have went a little bit further into detail. But with ESPN, you know, they got to play behind the Mickey Mouse ear, so they're limited in what they can do, say, and show. Whereas HBO, I know it's going to be all out.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really good. John, you going to watch that too?
When is that premiere?
I think April 20th?
April 10th.
April 10th, that's right.
Yeah, April 10th.
You got anything going on that day?
Well, I'll have to look at my notebook.
You'll have to see, to see if Teresa's okay with it.
I'm planning on watching it for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a real good time for me. I'm going to WrestleMania, taking my daughter to WrestleMania.
You're going to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Grown man.
So what?
So what?
Grown men watch comic books, movies, and read comics and stuff, don't they?
I don't read comic books. I watch a comic book movie.
Jung does.
Well, he's barely a grown man.
Okay, but he's like, what?
He doesn't have any
32?
Kids. He doesn't have any responsibilities. He doesn't have a wife.
Hey. I make no bones about it. I'm a wrestling fan and have been since I was a kid.
How much time do you spend a week watching wrestling?
A few hours, at least.
Like, so...
But I don't sleep, so...
Do you always watch Monday Night Raw?
Yeah. My daughter and I always watch it together.
So
she has to go to bed.
Even during football season, if there's a Monday Night Football game on, you'll choose Monday Night Raw over the football game?
Monday Night Raw gets demoted to the iPad.
Okay.
Football stays on the big TV.
Okay.
It's on the iPad or the phone or something like that, but football takes over.
Okay. But every other Monday, when it's not football season, it's on the big TV.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's the other show called, Jung?
SmackDown.
You watch that too?
Yep.
Which one's better?
Honestly, SmackDown has the better matches and whatnot, but Raw has the more star power. So they're about what and what, but if I had to watch just one of them, I would have to pick Raw because they have more star power.
Do you watch the other, what's the minor league thing called?
No, I don't watch Impact. I don't watch Impact too much. I really like New Japan. New Japan, they have okay. some really good stuff. They have, if I was to say, AJ, you're not a
so
wrestling fan.
So you watch wrestling that's not even WWE?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big time wrestling fan, right, Chong? That's like you're not even that hardcore, right?
No, when I was in my heyday, the most I'd watch was just Raw and SmackDown.
When I watched wrestling, I watched WWF at the time and WCW.
Yeah, back then we turned a computer monitor into a TV, so we could watch both at the same time.
Okay,
that's how hardcore we were back then. But yeah. This will be my third WrestleMania, actually.
Oh my gosh.
I took my son to 30 when
Where's
he was in
it gonna
New
be
Orleans.
At?
In New Orleans.
Okay.
So I get to stay with my mom and eat good food.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Don't have to pay for lodging and stuff like that.
That's nice.
But I took my son to 30, took my daughter to 32 in Dallas, and then now I'm taking her again to the one in New
but
Orleans.
But you don't even know what like the big matches are going to be, do you?
Yeah.
What are they? What's the big match?
Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Most likely Shinsuke Nakamura and I believe AJ Styles or John Cena or all three of them for the WWE title.
I don't like when more than two people wrestle.
It's better because there's no disqualifications.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What?
Because then they're using like chairs and stuff. Right?
Hell yeah, that's the best part.
No, I don't like that,
dude. Oh man. Okay, if you want
and
just
that,
straight,
you know what else pisses me off? There's too many titles.
Now that I do agree with.
Like you said, what's the one Brock Lesnar's going for?
He has the Universal title, okay. Which is the Raw title.
And then there's a WWE title, too?
Which is the SmackDown title.
There should just be one champion, one true champion.
That's what I think. But because they decided to go with the brand split to give everybody more opportunities to be seen on TV, they put two different titles on both different brands.
Now, when I was a kid, what was the title that Mr. Perfect always had?
The Intercontinental title.
Yeah. That there should just is that still a thing?
Yeah, they brought back the actual classic Intercontinental title with the white leather belt.
Okay, yeah, that one that's okay but that was always known to be the secondary belt.
But
like
that
you
was,
weren't good enough to be challenging for the real
right.
belt that Hulk Hogan had.
Right.
But you could have that belt like if you were a mid card guy like Brutus the Barber or Mr. Perfect.
That guy was also more widely recognized as the best actual wrestler in the company because he wrestled more dates. He always went to live events and whatnot. And whenever they wouldn't be bringing in Hogan for a live event, that guy would typically be at the top of the card on a live event or a different show or whatever. He wrestled more often. So that's why you always had guys like Mr. Perfect, Macho Man, Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, back in the day, that's why those guys always held that title.
Yeah. That would have been me. I'm a grinder. I'm always here when you guys aren't. When Jong and Fred can't do a date, I just come in and do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm that kind of a champion.
You'd be the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
Fred would be like the world champion. He would be the Hulk Hogan. And Jong would be the cruiserweight since he's a smaller guy.
No, Fred can't be Hulk Hogan. That's unacceptable to me. Fred's like Doink the Clown. Fred's the repo man.
If I was to compare, Fred is like he's like that one wrestler who, you know, he's pretty popular, but they bring him in to lose to the younger wrestlers. So he kind of boosts them up to build him up.
Do you have a favorite wrestler now?
Now? Yeah.
Who?
If I had to pick one guy that I could watch, I'd probably say Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
I used to watch his stuff from New Japan before he even came over here, before he could speak English. He's a really good, talented performer.
Okay. He speaks English now, though?
Oh, yeah. He's pretty funny now.
Okay.
He actually trained with Brock Lesnar.
Who's your favorite all time?
All time? I would have to say...
Andre the Giant?
Stone Cold or The Rock.
Oh, Andre the Giant's the best.
Yeah, but when I really like was heavy, heavy into wrestling... Stone Cold and The Rock actually brought it back from the doldrums, so I have to go with those two.
Okay, that's fair. Who's your favorite all-time, Jung?
Stone Cold.
Look at you guys. You have something in common. The black and the Asian.
We're bald and we like Stone Cold.
The black man and the Asian man coming together on things in a peaceful way.
Exactly.
That never happens during race riots.
No. We're going to change the racial overtones and undertones of this city.
That never happens in, was it Boys in the Hood?
where he says, "I feel sorry for your mother."
That wasn't Boys in the Hood. That was Minister Society.
Minister Society. That's
See,
right.
See, I'm trying to help you get invited to the cookout, and you're getting black movies mixed up. You can't get invited to the cookout if you don't know Boys in the Hood from Minister Society.
I already told you, I'm not going to the cookout.
You're going to the cookout, AJ.
I'm not going to, especially in Rosenberg. Are you crazy?
it's a fictional place, just like this other fictional place we're going to talk about later.
I'm not going there. All right, guys, you know where I am going? I'm going to tell you about Bill Advisor. And if you haven't been listening to this show, you may be saying, well, what's Bill Advisor? Well, what it is it's a way for you to save some money. And if you don't need more money, you can stop listening right now. If you do need more money, listen to my words. This is basically, they know that you are going through and paying every month your bills, and you don't know what you're paying because it's not the same rate you signed up for. You thought you were getting a good deal a long time ago. Not the case anymore. You're getting ripped off now. You could be saving over $830 per year. That's the average listener's savings, $830 per year. But there's some guys who save even more. David H. from Sugarland, now saving $1,431 a year on his internet and satellite TV bundle. Mark from Spring, now saving $1,236 on his cell phone, internet, and satellite bundle. John G. from Spring, now saving $1,122 after switching his internet and TV provider. You could be that guy. All you got to do, text the word BILLS, B-I-L-L-S, to 313131, or go to billadvisor.com. That's BILLS to 313131. Or visit BillAdvisor.com and click Start Saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Jermaine Every filling in for Fred Fowler today. We're going to talk about what white Wakanda would look like later on in the program.
Yeah, definitely.
You have an idea of what it would look like?
White Wakanda? In white Wakanda, it would be like Patrick Creighton's house, where you eat 5 pounds of potatoes at every meal, and the food is overcooked, and it doesn't have any flavor. That's white Wakanda.
Yeah.
White Wakanda is like you dance awkwardly to music that you've never heard before when you're at a wedding because the DJ's playing it and you're drunk.
That's not white Wakanda. That's just white people.
That's what I mean. White Wakanda, to me, when I sent you that, it was basically like, you know, the whole Black Panther thing, and people were like, in Wakanda, when that hashtag came out, it was a whole bunch of like stereotypes about black people and black culture and whatnot. And I thought, you know, in white Wakanda, it'd be stereotypes about white people and white culture, like baked chicken that tastes like rubber instead of chicken.
Man.
Just different things like that.
Do you guys, as a black man, do you feel like all white guys are like that?
No, because I know some white people who have a little bit of soul to them. Like they, like you said, you like spicy food. I was like, okay, cool. Now, how do you feel about curvy women?
I love them.
Okay,
that's my preference.
You like flavored food. You like curvy women.
Mm-hmm.
Would you listen to the Isley Brothers?
Sure.
Okay, see, I'm trying to help you
like,
get your...
I'm not like looking to... I'm probably not picking that out of my iPod, but...
Right.
Okay.
Okay, do you play dominoes?
I do.
Do you like playing spades?
Oh, I was in the Army. Of course I love playing spades.
I'm trying to help you with your race relations to get you invited to the cookout.
Okay.
This is going a long way. You like spicy food, curvy women. You like old school, like R&B music. You play spades and dominoes. And you love to talk trash and roast people.
It's true.
You're in. You're
I'm
getting
one of you,
there.
Basically,
you're getting there.
Yeah,
you're getting there.
Okay. What about Jong? There. Do you think Jong is that way?
I don't know. Jong?
Jong likes skinny girls.
Do you like curvy women?
I like curvy women. I love. See, I love spicy food, but my body over the last couple of years has been not too kind.
Dude, don't worry about it. I'll give you some of my heartburn pills when you come over to the house. I got you. Don't even worry about it. Just pop one of those little pink pills and you'll be good.
Yeah, and
won't feel a thing until it comes out.
And I'm too young for the Isley Brothers. I haven't listened to any other music.
You are never too young for the Isley Brothers, okay? In New Orleans, we had a station. Q93 was like the 97.9 there, right? Every Sunday afternoon, they would play nothing but old school music. Old R&B, you know, 70s, old 80s, you know, 60s music all the time. And the hot scene was always on the lakefront. You know, you went out on the lakefront. Everybody had their nice car. You got all dressed up to go sit out in the hot sun, barbecue, hang out, do whatever. And everybody played old school Q93 on Sunday evenings on the lakefront. That was what we did back then. And that was the thing. And it didn't matter if you were
what year was
17
this?
Or 27. This was back in the 90s.
Okay, I was thinking, like in the 80s, 93Q was like where you heard... That's where they would play like New Kids on the Block and all the goofy pop music.
It was 98.5 and 93. I can't remember when they switched over, but I think it started off as WYLD 98.5 was the one, and then it switched over to Q93.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's a couple of them hip-hop stations that play R&B music and stuff like that now in New Orleans. It's kind of grown in the last... I would say 10 to 15 years or so, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the music scene down there is always going to be live, and there's always different kinds of music. And that was the one thing culturally about growing up down there that you grew to appreciate was different kinds of music.
Yeah.
Not just one particular kind of music. So if you can listen to, like, hip-hop, old-school R&B and stuff, you're on your way to getting that invitation.
Okay.
I'm going to help you with that. It's going to be my goal.
Yeah. I don't like... And this is where I feel like the black man may disown me, but I don't like today's hip hop. I don't like any of it.
You're still black.
Some
because some
I
of
like
us
Kendrick
don't
Lamar
like hip hop
and it's some stuff, but yeah. I feel like it's gone downhill.
It has, and you're still invited because now you instead of being with like the younger kids, you're just going to be at the cookout
with
like
the
older
man.
Guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still there.
Okay.
You're still there.
Back in my day.
Back in my day.
You know what's funny?
I won't sag my pants. You know why? Because I forgot to wear underwear today. That's a true story.
Dude, we didn't need to know that. You could have kept that to yourself.
Have you ever done that?
No. I don't forget to put on underwear.
I went to the gym and I came to work straight from the gym. And I'm like digging through my bag furiously trying to find my underwear after I got out of the shower. No underwear.
Okay, that's different. You forgot to pack underwear.
Yeah.
You didn't just put your clothes on, come to the studio, and forget to put them on. You just didn't put
No.
Forgetting to pack them is different
so sometimes,
than not
like,
putting them
I
on.
I almost always forget something when I leave in the morning. Like mm-hmm. Usually it's a towel. And
you got to do the Barry Laminack and wash off with the soap?
At my gym, I'll usually – there's towels hanging up. Mm-hmm. Or there's towels like folded up. It's like somebody there does laundry all the time. So I can just snag a towel and throw it in the laundry hamper. The worst things I can forget. One time I forgot socks. That ain't good.
Now your feet smell like rotten.
And then
mayonnaise.
One time I forgot shower shoes, which
that's scary.
That's scary when you're in a gym shower.
No, that's legit scary.
Yeah, I don't like that. But then today I forgot my underwear, so I had to go. Commando. It's not comfortable. Not in jeans.
What's worse is I'm looking you in the eyes. You're telling me you don't have on underwear.
No underwear.
That's uncomfortable.
No underwear. I'm like a porn star right now.
Hey, did you hear Jerry Jones had
but
to reimburse the NFL?
But not completely shaven.
Jerry
most
Jones,
porn guys shave completely.
You hear Jerry Jones paid the $2 million back to the NFL?
What are you talking about?
Because I'm trying to change the subject. I'm tired of looking at you talking about you don't have on underwear.
Wait, listen, this is important stuff.
Oh. Is it liberating?
Huh?
Is it liberating?
No. When I was in the Army, I used to always not wear underwear. Because you're wearing fatigues and they're not made of denim. So it didn't feel bad. But then when I would go, when I wasn't on duty and I was wearing jeans, I would always wear underwear. And now I've gotten back to where now I almost always wear underwear.
That's good.
Yeah, but then today it didn't happen for me. So I had two choices, and you tell me what you would have done. I could have put on my compression shorts that I had been training in for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
or go with no underwear. What would you have done?
You got on jeans. See, I always have this fear of getting stuff caught in the zipper. So
you just have to know to be much more careful.
I think I would have tried to wash those compression shorts and see how that went. And if it
didn't, how much time do you think? I mean, there was no time to run a load of laundry.
No, I mean, like, you bring them in the shower with you.
And then wear wet underpants all day?
There's blow dryers and stuff there, AJ. I know they have those little hand dryer thingies.
No.
No?
No, but I mean, they have like a full-on dryer, but
I still would have tried to wash them. And wear them. And if it's really just uncomfortable and squishy and not really working out, then I would have taken them off. But I would have at least tried.
I just didn't feel like that was going to work for me.
But then again, you know, I'm a little anal about like packing a bag and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'm overpack guy sometimes. I'm that guy.
We got Aubrey on. My man Aubrey Theodi on the line. Aubrey from Dirt Free. What's going on, buddy?
He was
on
the
line. Did
you
lie to me, John?
No, he was on the line. I guess he dropped off.
Now I have to awkwardly shuffle through my papers and tell you about Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. Did you hang up on him?
No.
All right. If you've been putting off cleaning your carpets, your air ducts, your tiles, your upholstery, don't wait any longer. You can save 35% off right now with Dirt Free Carpet's 35% off sale. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Go chemical-free with Dirt Free. Nobody deep cleans like Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. Satisfaction's guaranteed. Your carpets are fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, tile and wood floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. And right now, you can get 35% off any cleaning service. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373. Tell them you heard it here. Get 35% off any cleaning service, and they're going to throw in a free speed dry with carpet cleaning. That's $100 value. 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet. That's dirt-free carpet.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
All right, 4:48 on the Blitz. No Fred today. Jermaine Every hanging in studio. Upping my credentials with the black man.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you invited to the cookout.
We will we'll talk about White Wakanda
mm-hmm.
a little bit later on. It's something that I'm very interested in the full rundown of what you think it would be like. And yeah, I don't know if we have the same vision.
I wonder why.
Well, probably because I'm white. But I think you have.
It might
like
have something to do with it.
But it's also because you're not white. You don't.
That as well.
You've never lived in a white house.
No, I have not.
You don't know what we're like behind closed doors.
No, I don't. But I have a perception.
And you, yeah, I don't think that's fair, though. I don't think it's fair to just make assumptions based on stereotypes.
Hey, but when you know and have grown up with and you have white friends and y'all have those kind of open discussions about what your life is like and what things how things go down and, you know, what happened when you got in trouble or what do you eat for dinner? What time do you eat dinner? What does your mom do when she wants to buy you clothes? And, you know, like in my house, if I ever told my mom, like, Mom, close my door, get out. Dude, I wouldn't be able to talk or walk straight for like 6 months. But I've seen my white friends do that like on a regular basis. Like it's nothing. It just like, Mom, get out. Mom, close my door. What are you doing? Dude, as soon as I say get, I couldn't even get the T out. And like I'd get punched in the face or something like that. Heck yeah, my mom didn't play that.
Did you have a dog when you were a kid?
At one point we did, but the dog chewed its rope off and ran away.
Because the dog lived outside, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. White people, our dogs don't live outside.
Dude, I'll kid you not. I had a client one time.
I've always noticed that black people's dogs, I mean, stereotypically.
Generally speaking.
Live outside.
They live outside. Sometimes they do get to come inside, but for the most part, they're outside dogs. I had a client once, and she offered me a glass of water. And I said, yeah, sure. I had been working late that day. When I saw her cat on the counter in the kitchen as she was preparing food, and the cat's bowl for its food was on the counter, and she's playing with the cat, and then she went back to preparing her food, and she didn't want... I freaked out. I took the cup, and I walked off into the bathroom, and I poured it out, and I would have just... I was done. I was like, you know, I can't do this. This is just too...
We were too weird for you?
How do you have a pet in the kitchen, on the kitchen counter, as you're fixing food?
No, I don't like that.
That's nasty. That's just nasty. I'm sorry. Like, y'all have some weird tendencies and stuff I just can't get with.
Yeah, we are an odd people.
Yeah. Like, okay, one of the other things is...
Well, you don't blow the whole bit yet.
Okay.
You got to save some.
Hold back.
As you know, the white man, everything was handed to us, and we...
Took it.
Yep, that's right. For a long time, we've been set up to succeed in this country.
Pretty much.
And somehow we found a way to blow it. we have officially killed the golden goose.
Yeah.
And now, like...
You screwed the pooch.
Yeah. If you're a white man in this country, it ain't what it used to be. Let me tell you that.
It's a little bit different for you, huh?
Oh, yes. Climate?
Yeah, I could imagine.
Oh, yes. And it's a shame for me personally because, I know that a lot of my people, they put us in this position. And I don't fault the rest of the world for clumping all white men into the same basket.
It's funny because...
But I feel like I was one of the good ones.
Oh,
and now
yeah.
I'm clumped in.
You're clumped in because you're a white guy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You have to get to really know people in order to make that final judgment because... Honestly, people can say what they want, and I know people say this about dating. You should find someone you love to date. What's the first thing you see when you see a person? You see what they look like.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you see a white guy, you're not going to think, you're going to go with your preconceived notion about that person. Like I read an article, and we studied this at work. There's 11 different assumptions a person makes about you in the first 7 seconds of meeting you. And it all has to do with your background, socioeconomic status, education, so on and so forth. But you're going to automatically assume certain things about that person over your life experiences and what you've gone through. And most of the time when a minority especially sees a white guy, they're automatically thinking, okay, here's this white guy. He's probably not going to like me. He could be racist, depending on how you interact with that person. And then after you get to know that person, then you start to kind of break down some of those walls, or they just reconfirm what you've already known or assumed. So the same thing, like I've seen where I get asked this all the time when people say, so are you from here? And I say, no, I'm from New Orleans. The first thing that comes out of their mouth after that, oh, did you move out here after Katrina?
Katrina, yeah.
No, I was here before Katrina.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think everybody in Houston that came from New Orleans came here after Katrina? Like, there was no other way anybody from New Orleans could have moved to Houston, Texas until Hurricane Katrina happened.
But you do have to admit that a lot of people from New Orleans did move here after Hurricane
there
Katrina.
There was. And there were also a bleep ton of people that lived here from New Orleans before Katrina happened.
That is true.
So, I mean, it's just one of those assumptions that people make. People make a lot of assumptions, though. But, I mean, it is what it is. You just have to fight those assumptions if you actually want to fight those assumptions. Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I feed into some of the stereotypes just to make people feel uncomfortable and see what they think. I love the social experiments and stuff like that. Like, I like people watching and just doing certain things like that. So it's kind of fun.
Well, we'll break into White Wakanda on the other side of this break, the 5 o'clock hour. We do have Beth today, right?
Yes.
You'll get to have your Beth cherry popped.
Oh, boy.
You excited about that? Have you heard Beth on this show before?
Yep.
What do you think?
Interesting.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Do you have some questions as a black man you want to ask her?
Yes, I do.
Good. All right, guys. I got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. And here's the deal about Tri-Eagle. They know that at some point, you probably got suckered by an energy company. There's a lot of them out there, and they're always offering different things. Like, they'll say, oh, we'll give you free weekends. We'll give you free days. We'll give you $600 bonuses. The list goes on. And Tri-Eagle also knows that, you know, when you hear it, it sounds appealing. And you may have been suckered into one of those things. And months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there's additional fees on your bill. And I hate fees. Tri-Eagle, they don't have those fees. The rate you see, the rate you pay. They keep it simple that way. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. You can use whatever you want. You're going to pay what they said you were going to pay. The way it should be. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. And start working with these guys. These guys are upfront and honest about what you're going to pay, and that's really all you want in business, is someone to be upfront and honest with you. It's 877-93-EAGLE for TriEagleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064.